So this morning, we're going to be in Acts 2:42 as we jump into our new series, a teaching series called Devoted. And we're going to be here for about 4 weeks. Not about. We're going to be here for 4 weeks. And we're really going to, we're going to dive into really this like one passage of Scripture. So Acts 2, starting in verse 42 through 47. But we're really going to be focusing on Acts 42 for the next 4 weeks. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. And all came upon awe, like awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they were selling the possessions and belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all, attending the temple, proceeds to all that had any need. And day by day, attending the temple together. And breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. This is the word of God of the people of God. Would you say thanks be to God? So we have Acts 2:42 through 47, which if you're reading in the book of Acts, which is the long title, is the Acts of the Apostles. It's kind of the written down account of what happened after Jesus ascended to heaven. What happened after Pentecost, and what did the early church do throughout the world? And really, this little portion of Scripture is descriptive. It's a descriptive portion of text between two portions of narrative and messages, and how Peter was doing the work of the church of healing and preaching, and people were coming to know Jesus. And so it comes after the ascension of Jesus, and then it comes also still after Pentecost, and then still it comes after Peter's sermon that said that about 3,000 people were saved through Peter's proclamation of the gospel. And then this leads to a general description of the activities and the kind of community that have been created through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is really important for us to get. This wasn't because people had a bright idea and decided to put their heads together and they created this powerful gathering. No, this was because of the power of the Holy Spirit working among them. And this is the kind of community that was prophesied about in the Old Testament, and that God, what God is doing now among a Spirit-filled, Jesus-centered people. And really, the first word that pops out when we read Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves. And they devoted themselves. If I can get a little word nerdy with you. From Scripture, if we look at kind of the definition of what devoted means, honestly, if you go through all the different ways in which it's used, it means just like ongoing compulsion. Like almost like they can't even help themselves. It's just this ongoing compulsion of what they're doing. If we wanted to break down the etymology of the word, it's Latin. D means formally, and volver means a vow. To formally vow towards something. Or to consecrate yourself to something. If we look at our modern dictionaries, devote means to give all or a large part of one's time or resources to a person, activity, or cause. To give all or a large part of your time or resources to a person, activity, or cause. If we added a D to that, to get devoted, they devoted themselves, it means to be very loving or loyal. or given over to the display, study, or discussion of a person, activity, or cause. To devote, to be devoted. If you've been around the church, if you've been following Jesus, you've probably heard, maybe you, if you haven't even been following Jesus, you've probably heard the term of devotion. Oh, I need to get in my devotion time, right? Devotion. So if we take devotion, it's the love or loyalty or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause. The love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause. Now, even in a religious space, there's a religious definition, which is religious worship or some kind of observance, or prayers or religious observance, right? Devotion. And as we read this list of scripture, or this list of what they devoted themselves to, that they were loyal to, that they loved, that they were enthusiastic about, I mean, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayer. And I think what's really important, before we even jump into the individual things in which they were devoted to, it's important for us to recognize that this is not a pick or choose. That we can't think that one or two of these things are sufficient, and I can ignore the other ones. The ones that work well with my personality. I mean, just wait till we talk next week about fellowship. It's a doozy. Especially for us introverts, of which I am one, right? We don't get to pick or choose what we're devoted to. I mean, this is what the early church devoted themselves to, and then we can see what happened as a result of that. Because if you think about it, if you just pick one or two without teaching, if we don't devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, we can become swayed by culture and shaped by other teaching. We are always discipled. It's just a matter of who and what disciples us. Without fellowship, we are isolated. And honestly, we would struggle to have a living faith if we're not in community. Without the breaking of bread, we forget the centrality of Jesus, of even a simple meal, of a reminder of who Jesus is and what he did for us. Once again, we'll get talking about breaking of bread. You might just think communion, but the breaking of bread, the sharing of a meal in that culture was almost always a religious experience because of how important it was. And without prayer, we forget that we are a heaven and earth nature kind of people. If we don't pray, then we forget that we're communing with a God that created the universe. So we can't pick or choose. We cannot simply choose what we're devoted to. It's laid out for us. The work has already been done. Now it's just us leaning into it. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What comes to mind when I say apostles' teaching? I think first we need to understand what this is talking about. I mean, it's quite specific. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, and if you read the grammar, it's a plural with an apostrophe at the end, so it's multiple apostles, and it's their teaching that they have. It's their teaching. And what was the apostles' teaching that was so unique? I mean, this would have been describing a group of Jews. I mean, this was all in Jerusalem. Everybody had come in for Passover. Like, I mean, all kinds of people were there that were being saved from all kinds of tribes and nations and tongues that were part of the diaspora of Jews. But these were all Jews. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And what was their teaching? Their teaching was the witness accounts of the person, life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus. This transformative and community creating power of God that was taking place was because of Jesus. It wasn't because of a revived devotion to the Hebrew Scriptures. That's not what did it for them. It wasn't because they decided to have a revival and decided to go back to the Hebrew Scriptures and then God was doing all these things because they redevoted themselves to the Hebrew Scriptures. No, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. These teachings that they devoted themselves to were about and centered around a person, Jesus. They devoted, they studied, they were they had loyalty to, they had love of, they had an investment of time and resources to the authority to the person, life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus. I think it's so important for us to understand this. And this might sound odd, but I think it's so important for us to understand this and not just immediately translate this into our minds as Scripture. But they devoted themselves to Scripture, which is an easy thing to do because the apostles' teachings are in this, right? I mean, the apostles' teachings are in Scripture. And so we just need to be devoted to Scripture, right? Now, you might be thinking I'm walking a fine line here, and it's a bit true. I think it's important for us to understand devotion to the apostles' teaching as the person, the life, the ministry, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, because without that devotion, this can become misconstrued and weaponized. I'm going to say that again. I think it's important for us to understand this devotion to the apostles' teaching as the person, life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus, because without that devotion, this can become misconstrued and weaponized. I think a lot of us could probably point to a time that Scripture was used to harm us. And either harm us intentionally or sometimes even unintentionally. But what I also believe is that we can probably track nearly every one of those occurrences to lacking the lens of Jesus. Because here's what I want to make sure as we're talking about devotion and what we're devoting ourselves to, is that we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching because honestly, without the lens and the hope of Jesus and the character and the person of Jesus, these can just become ink on a page. There's plenty of people who have studied and can rip apart this book and put it back together and defend and attack all kinds of things through it, and they're not followers of Jesus. That's because it's one of the greatest pieces of literature in humankind. It's known. It's the most selling book in history. So here's a practice that I use when I'm using Scripture or talking about Jesus. You might be thinking, like, what now? Because don't get me wrong, I mean, this is obviously incredibly important. Preach from it literally every Sunday. Every Sunday. We call you to read it and to meditate through it. We spent 40 minutes this morning with a group of about 10 people pouring through about 8 verses and just reading it over and over and over, asking God to speak through those verses to us. So I'm not trying to diminish what this is. But what we need to remember is whose this is. So a practice that I use, and for me, it's a little bit of splitting hairs, but it's been really helpful for me when I think about Scripture, when I think about Jesus. And it's a bit of a mental exercise. In the Gospel of John at the very beginning, it says, "The Word became flesh." And that before even creation, the Word existed. And it gets down to this, like, poetic philosophical terminology, and really what it gets down to is that the Word, capital W, is Jesus. The Word, the Logos, if we got into the word Logos and even how the Hebrews use it, it is quite literally, if we think about it in modern terms, like the motherboard, the CPU of the world. Everything was created through and off of the basis of Jesus. The Word, capital W, is Jesus. The Word of God, capital W, is Jesus. And Scripture contains the Word, lowercase w, of God. Scripture contains the Word of God. And it's because of our relationship with the Holy Spirit, and it's because of our relationship with the capital W, Word of God, Jesus, that this becomes alive. That this becomes so much more than just ink on a page. That these words can be used to transform our hearts and our minds and our community and our gatherings entirely. It's because of our relationship with the Word of God, capital W, that we get to experience the living and active nature of the words of God. Because the writer of Hebrews is right. I mean, the Word of God, talking about the words of God, he was pointing to Scripture, is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It can literally divide soul and spirit. I mean, that's the power that this has. Imagine if it was wielded improperly. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the person, the life, the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Why? Because that's the lens through which we should be seeing everything. That's the lens through which we should be seeing everything. Because Jesus changes everything. The birth of Jesus and the life and ministry and the death and the resurrection of Jesus split history in two. It offered a new way to live. We're invited into this new community, this new way of living in which, even though there is death and suffering and hardship in the world, that we can have peace and comfort and solace. That even though the world is just continually trying to break and distort things, there is wholeness and there's order within a community of believers. That even though that there's hunger and there's thirst, there's a community that's trying to eradicate that. Because why? Because they follow Jesus. They devoted themselves to who Jesus is. And we have the incredible tool, and when we use the lens of Jesus, when we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, it is the Holy Spirit inside of us that interacts with the words of God here, that changes everything. So how do you think we ought to devote ourselves the apostles' teaching? How do we devote ourselves the apostles' teaching? How do we devote ourselves to the person, the life, the ministry, the death, the resurrection of Jesus? I'm going to tell you to start with this. Read the Gospels. And don't just read the Gospels to read the Gospels. Don't just go through them. Read the Gospels so that you might see Jesus. Pay attention to what Jesus is doing in the Gospels. I mean, there's a lot that's going on in the Gospels that isn't always connected with Jesus, but a lot of it is. Most of it is. A good portion of Matthew is primarily Jesus teaching. And same with Luke. And all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they have this different perspective of who Jesus is to give us this full picture. So So start with the Gospels and don't just read to read. Ask yourself the question, Jesus, what are you doing here? Look for the character of Jesus in it and how he treats people and how he responds to those who are coming to him, how he handles conflict, how he handles those who are quite literally trying to kill him. Because that's what the early church devoted themselves to. It was this apostles' teaching. It was their account. I mean, they were eyewitnesses, and they got the benefit of hearing from the people who walked with Jesus. And if you're like, I think I know the Gospels. Or if you're like, man, I ripped through the Gospels. You know, the Gospels don't take that long to read through. Then you can start with the book of Romans, which is kind of Paul's great theological writing to the church in Rome. And if you think through the lens as you're reading Romans, what does this teach me about who Jesus is? How is Jesus revealed in talking about, like, satisfying the wrath of God, as Paul talks about in the first couple chapters? And who we are and how separated we are from God and how Jesus came anyway. Or you could move on to 1 John, which quite literally does all kinds of descriptions of Jesus is. Jesus is. Jesus is light. Jesus is love. One of my personal favorites is the letter to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians. I'm always surprised every time I read Ephesians and I feels like a master class on what does it mean to be a part of the church, and then what does that mean in connection with Jesus and how he interacts and how he calls us and how he gives us gifts and abilities and how we're called to unity and maturity. It all points back to Jesus. So yes, read Scripture. Read the words that we believe that have been breathed by God through the lens of Jesus. You can also pick up a booklet for Pray 21. As we're going to talk about in 4 weeks' time of devoting ourselves to prayer, prayer is so formative of how we get to know who Jesus is. It's really this communion and this connection that we have to build. It's a practice. You might feel silly doing it at first. I promise you, if you not really have a prayer life, you might quite literally feel silly, and that's okay. I regularly still feel like, Lord, what am I doing? Pick up the weekly reflection. I think it's out there on the Welcome Center. That kind of gives a synopsis of the message, and then ask some questions about how we can be more devoted and just kind of process through the week. It's good to answer questions of ourselves and write them down. Or plan to come to Common Table as we talk about, go through the Alpha series, as we talk about literally the basics of Christianity. I know when I ran it several years ago, I was a leader in ministry and was surprised at the thought-provoking nature of just getting back to the basics. Like, why do we believe what we believe? Because devotion takes time. It takes energy. It takes enthusiasm. It takes our resources. Devotion requires of us loyalty. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, into the fellowship, into the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And all came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all of the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. If we want that to be a reality in our life, then it must start with devotion. We don't get to just skip to the good stuff. And trust me, devotion is good, but it's work. It's time. It's wrestling. So how can you devote yourself to the person, life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus? Because he wants to do a new thing in your life. Because it's not just work for work's sake. It's a relationship that changes our life. Let's pray. God, we are grateful that we get to turn to Scripture to see how those disciples who have gone way before us devoted themselves to you. That we're not sitting here arguing about what we need to do. It's really laid out for us. But we get to gather together and we get to study and discuss, how does this happen in our world? How does this happen in our life? What does it look like for us to commonly gather together our resources so that people don't have need? What does it look like for us to attend temple regularly as they did? What does it look like for us to break bread in our homes and receive that food with glad and generous hearts? God, may we start with being devoted to Jesus, to the apostles' teaching. God, help us, guide us, lead us, and teach us. We are listening. I pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.